Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Okay, we're live. Leading Edge Medicine, and good morning to you. My name is Lynette, Dr. Jerry Mixon here, and Dr. Samira Umat. Oh, and what a weekend, huh? Here we are, March. Did you get any snow at the beginning of the week? Did you have like a little dusting?
Well, we didn't get a dusting. It was like corn snow.
Okay, hard, like hail type stuff?
Kind of, but it was snowing. It only lasted about an hour. The ground got kind of whitish.
And then it rained and went away.
Yeah, it melted quickly.
So. Yes. It's like, okay, what's the weather forecast today? Warm, cool, rain, snow, yes.
Schizophrenic, and you covered it all.
We got it all. Oh, well, we're not here to talk about the weather as much
psychotic
as we want to.
Yeah.
We want to talk about your health and take your calls and your questions today on the show. And here is that phone number to call so that you can get right through to us in the studio live and talk to Dr. Mixon or to Dr. Umat. Let me give you that number, and then we're going to get an update and find out what's going on in the world. And Dr. Umat, you were gone last week, somewhere exciting. We're going to find out about that in just a moment as well. So here is the number to get through with your questions. It's 206-421-5757. Be one of the first ones on the line. Don't wait until the very end of the show. 206-421-5757. Okay. So Dr. Umat, you were across the pond.
I was,
as they
indeed.
Say.
Yeah, it was cold over there. It was across the pond. It was cold. I realized that I like to be home most.
Okay. Yes.
I'm a homebody.
Yeah, England is not your
I can be gone. Although I studied in England. I took my O levels and A levels and lived there. So that was a long, long time ago.
Okay. Yeah. You were more hot blooded and tolerated the damp and the cold better.
Well, you know, at Oxford the buildings are all old. It's such a beautiful place to go visit. But as my daughter said, the insulation is so poor that the inside is just as cold as the outside.
Oh, boy. Okay.
But anyway, that young child graduated. And so we went to support her for her graduation. A very
wonderful,
proud moment for us as parents.
Of
very
course.
Happy for her and all her right. accomplishment. She did it all on her own. So, you know, happy for her.
Yes.
Yeah. And she graduated in what was her – What is
oh,
her
she
degree?
Did her master's in genomics.
Okay.
Yeah. So she had to be careful choosing that topic because her background is in business and stats.
Mm.
She did statistics and international business, and now she's doing biology. So, okay, go figure, whatever you like. She read a book on genomics about the CRISPR gene.
Uh-huh.
And that she actually made – she bought us a book too. She said, you guys got to read this. Oh, thank you, child.
Yeah.
But it sparked an interest in her in, you know, what genomics is doing. And as you know, Jerry, the UMABs have changed the science of treating cancer and so many other autoimmune diseases now. So there's a lot of buzz in that industry. And
of course
she
there is.
Wanted to learn a little bit more about what genomes can do.
And getting a master's degree probably gave her an opportunity to learn just a smidgen amount.
Just a smidgen amount. It's
okay.
Just enough. That's all she wanted, though.
Wow. Right. Awesome. Yeah. Well, crazy. Look at the phones. They are blowing up right now, which is a good thing. So what, you want to just jump right on the phones
Let's
here?
Let's do it.
Good job. I like that they call in early. That way we can get as many phone
They're
calls.
Listening
as-
to you, Lynette.
There we go. Good job. Good job. 206-421-5050. 757. We are headed to Lake Stevens. Nick is on the line. Hi, Nick. Good morning.
Good And a gracious good morning, and thanks for taking the call. I just wanted to take a moment.
I wonder if Nick is speaking and the station's
there
not feeding it to us for some reason.
Let's see here.
What am I speaking into?
Because I hear nothing from the station yet.
Okay, that's right. We may not be able to hear. We're having a little bit of an issue this morning.
An issue, yes.
Okay, so I'm talking here with... All right. Well, we are going to wait to get Nick back on the line. Why don't we find out from Dr. Mixon medical things, medical update.
Oh, medical stuff. Why would we do that?
You just read papers for hours every day, Dr. Mixon.
Yes, I do. I do. It's kind of my recreation.
It is your recreation, but at the last doctor's meeting, I haven't seen you. Well, you've been talking to me more regularly, so I know you were excited, but the other doctors saw your excitement at the last doctor's meeting, and I heard from everybody, and they goes, wow, this is really exciting stuff. So there's a lot happening in our practice and what we do that is very exciting currently, and the field is just expanding in terms of knowledge about how to avoid normal aging and the pitfalls of normal aging and how to live a more healthful life till the very end.
Right. Well, for instance, one of the last calls we had in the previous show, guy was asking about sirtuin-1, and
yes,
and you know, he said that sirt-1 activation was important for a healthy life, and why did we want to do sirt-1 suppression? And if he's still listening to the show, I just want to point out we use a sirt-1 suppressors. We do it once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we give you a medication to suppress sirtuin-1 once per week, and the other 6 days you go ahead and it functions normally.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to suppress it periodically because what it does is it actually changes the way your DNA is wrapped around the histones in the in that DNA double helix.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes your DNA coil, that double helix, tight.
Mm-hmm.
So that it doesn't get broken and doesn't have substitutions and damage. So, mm-hmm. so it actually protects your genome. And this periodic suppression of sirtuin-1 lowers your risk of cancers, causes the heart to remodel so that it you have better ejection fraction. You actually are pumping blood more efficiently. It lowers the incidence of diabetes. It makes you have stronger muscles, more activity. And it seems to change brain function in that it makes you feel more enthusiastic and cheerful and upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So in some ways, it's referred to as a starvation mimetic.
Mm-hmm.
It mimics the benefits you get from intermittent fasting
mm-hmm.
without the fasting.
Interesting.
Which
yeah,
is really
I'm sure
kinda neat.
We would all love to hear about that because that is a key in helping aging. The only thing that has been shown to improve lifespan is caloric restriction, but we also recognize that calorie restriction is very stressful for individuals.
It is. It's very hard to do to eat less than your body needs.
Right.
And it does make you skinny and weak.
Yes,
you live a long time, but you live it as a puny little punk.
Well, but the other thing is also, you know, people ask me, like my patients will ask me real questions, like, what's the joy of living then if you're living like that? Why live longer, right?
And our job at Longevity is not to make you so miserable that you pray for death.
Yeah,
our job is to help you have a long, joyous, robust life.
Right. But mm-hmm. but the point here, Jerry, is that a lot of these processes are more complex than it seems at first sight. You know, stimulating the sirt-1 may actually control inflammation, but chronic inflammation is bad. So at some point, you want to inhibit it so that it doesn't go on and then cause more damage. So as you said, the biphasic part of this curve, at some point, it's beneficial to you, but at certain times, you don't want it activated. So you do something to prevent a cancer, but when you have a cancer, you don't want it to keep going on because that'll then stimulate the growth of that cancer. So you want to suppress it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, and for us, one of the things that we do periodically at our clinic are the senescent cell therapies.
Yeah.
And but I came across a study just this week in which they used dasatinib three times a week.
Mm-hmm. 50 milligram dose.
50 milligram dose three times a week. 1 week out of four, I think it was, once each month for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they found they had a low level of senescent cells, but they also had significantly shortened telomeres.
Mm, okay. Mm. So you don't want to shorten telomeres.
So you don't want to shorten telomeres. Now,
right.
So, you know, we know that it's a benefit to treat people for short periods of time with dasatinib and get rid of their senescent cells.
Right.
And that then allows them to function much better. And in the animal studies, unlike the rapamycin, they gave you a 15% increased lifespan.
Yeah.
The senescent cell therapy gave a 36% increased lifespan.
Right. But again, with the senescent cell, what you're sharing is that people are experimenting with different dosing, trying to figure out how much to use and how frequently to use to
Precisely.
Get the best results.
Yes.
But we don't know that.
We don't know that. And so we're all going by some guessing, by golly.
Mm.
And people need to understand that. But what we do know from that study is that doing it every month for 6 months shortens your telomeres.
Right.
So don't do it every month for 6 months.
Right.
All right.
You're right.
On the other hand, you know, we do it for 9 days.
First time around, yes.
Once or twice a year.
Correct.
Which is, yeah. We do it 3 days on, 4 days off, 3 days on, 4 days off, 3 days on, months off.
Right.
Or
we do, you know, repeat one would be just a 3 day.
A single 3 day course periodically.
Right.
But all of that is based on theoretical improvements because we humans live so long that to know what the real impact on our lifespan as opposed to the mice who only live 25 months, you take a mice that live 25 months and you stretch them out to 33 or 34 months, wow, you got a big change.
Yeah.
You know, humans, we would have to extend our lifespan by 12 to 15 years to get the same impact.
Yeah.
And that means we got to follow a lot of people for a very long time.
Yeah, and there's so many other variables too, right? So
that's right,
you
yeah.
can never pinpoint anything.
Right. So, you know, there are, to some degree, there's a certain amount of guessing by golly involved. Now, one of the things that I do like, though, is that there was a study showing that the CD8 cells are very susceptible to senescence.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they do studies on CD8 cells at different ages, we are now getting a feel for running flow cytology on your blood cells, identify the CD8s, and then examine those for senescence and see what percentage of those are senescent. And that will give us a very good indication of how effective and how often we need to treat people with the dasatinib.
Mm.
Question, of course, there is, how do we get the flow cytometry and the DNA rosettes checked, and what's it going to cost us?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm trying to work with some research labs right now so that we can actually come up with a protocol to find out how often we have to treat people instead of just doing it by our gut.
Yeah. So. Well, that'll be helpful to know. As you always say, objective data and will give us a clue of whether we're on the right track or not.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
All right. We are going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back. And hopefully we'll be able to hear those phone calls. We've got some technical difficulty happening at the radio station. And so they're talking with their engineers, trying to get it so that we can actually hear what's going on. So we'll take a quick break right here, and then we will be back with more Leading Edge Medicine. Stay right there. And we're back with Leading Edge Medicine, having some technical difficulties, not able to grab those phone calls right now, but we're trying to get that worked out with an engineer. In the meantime, we have Dr. Samira Umat and Dr. Jerry Mixon live in the studio so we can get lots of information, maybe even talk about some things that we have been getting a lot of calls on.
Sure.
So what would you like to dive into?
We're going to talk a little bit about the aging process.
Ah.
That is what we do for a living.
That's absolutely.
Right. You know, here's the problem. The human beings were not really designed to live long, robust lives. Nature doesn't care about our beliefs, our desires, our thoughts, our politics. Mm. Nature cares about survival of the species, not the individual. So here's the way we are designed. And I'm sorry if the facts offend anybody, but these are the facts of nature, not of our belief systems and or religions. Okay. We are designed to have our babies in our teens, at least the women. That's why a teenage girl hits her testosterone peak when she's 15 years old. That gives her the highest probability of engaging in sex. And we're designed to have our babies young, to stay strong and durable long enough to raise our children. Once our children are old enough to have babies, we've done our job. What we're designed to do then is get slow, weak, fat, die, get out of the way, and quit consuming resources that the next generation needs. The problem is we don't like that plan.
No, we don't like that plan.
Because if you had your babies when you're in your teens, how old would you be when your babies could start having babies?
Mm.
You'd be in your
30s. Yes. Yeah. Well, that was the age of lifespan then.
Yes.
Yes.
The average human lifespan for most of human existence has been the low 30s.
Yeah.
And that's what happened is we had our babies young. We stayed strong and durable long enough to get them raised. And when they started having babies, we died.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And our culture has a lot of that in our almost unconscious, I don't know how we, our mythos, I guess. For instance, you hear the term the gray beard.
Mm.
You know, those were the village elders. Those were the people who made the decisions. Right. Those were the gray beards. How old is the average man when his beard starts turning gray?
30s.
Yes.
Yes.
So much earlier
That's
now.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So a man's beard starts getting gray in his 30s, which was a sign of maturity and age because most men didn't live much longer than that. You make it into their 40s, perhaps. Women tended to die in their teens and 20s having babies.
Childbirth, yeah.
And the men would make it into their 40s and wear out about two wives. And they would die. Do you know, you've heard the Hansel and Gretel and so on.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The old crone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what a crone is? A crone is a menopausal woman. Really?
I'm like sure many women listening to this will not be happy right
no,
now.
No, they would not be. But in a earlier age, you know, a woman who lived long enough to stop having periods was a rarity.
Yeah.
They died much younger. They're having babies killed them.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
And so for women to live long enough to stop having periods, that made them a very unusual. And the unusual is always feared by humans.
Mm.
we like stuff we see a lot of.
Yeah.
And so old women with white hair, that was weird.
Well, I mean, I guess if a woman survived childbearing and then lived on, then she probably could live longer than a guy because men died younger.
That's right. And women have always had more robust immune systems than men do.
Right.
And so absent childbearing deaths and infectious diseases, women tend to live longer than men. And we see it today.
Yeah.
The average American woman lives to be 77 now. Used to be 78 point something. It's down to 76, almost 77. But men, the average American man dies at 73.
Is it 73? I thought men were 76.
No.
It's dropped a little bit.
It used to be. Used to be women 78, men 76.
Okay.
But now, because of the drug deaths, men are dying younger. They take more chances. And so they're killing themselves with drugs. And so men are down to 73, and women are almost 77, where men used to be.
Mm.
So we are the only industrialized nation on earth that has a dropping lifespan. So, but even that would have been an incredible rarity for our ancestors.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what's happening is then why do people go downhill? Why is it in your 30s you start getting increased risk of dying? And that is simple. We men and women, we peaked our anabolic hormone load in our teens. That's what, those are the hormones that allow us to grow new tissue, to heal and repair. We have a big, robust immune system in our youth. Our thymus makes the immune cells that are going to protect us against cancer and infections for the rest of our life before adolescence. Mm. Okay. So by the time we're adolescents, our thymus is shriveling up.
Right.
We're less and less capable of making immune cells. We use them up in our 30s and 40s. And the reason that old people die early today is that people die in their 60s, 70s, and 80s is because their immune response is worn out.
Mm.
Okay. So the trick is to kick those hormones back up to the level they used to be in your youth. Give you back your strength, your energy, your drive, ambition, allow you to grow new tissue and heal and repair more effectively. And then the next step we're going to need to do is kill off our senescent cells, which mm-hmm. these are cells that have reached the end of their lifespan, but instead of being replaced by new cells, undergo a morphological change. They actually become senile, and they start kicking out pro-inflammatory, pro-cancer, pro-death hormones, enzymes, and peptides. And that is shortening our lifespan once more. So one of the things we do at Longevity is we get rid of your senescent cells so that you don't die early.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, of course, that we're hoping to be able to do, and I think we'll probably be there in the next year or two, is to start boosting your thymus back up so we can recreate your youthful immune system and lower your risk of dying of infections and cancers.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of promise and a lot of need to look into this area. I mean, like I was saying in the last show, I have so many robust patients in their 70s, 80s, and beyond that are living independently, a fulfilling life, not just for themselves and their partners, but also for the families, for the communities. And that is just so nice to see. And it's a comparison to the video we saw recently where you had a choice between enjoying the last 10 years of your life or being sickly for the last 10 years of your life and living it in a hospital to nursing home to whatever. And that puts a strain on you as well. And more so than ever before, today that choice is in your hands.
It looks to me from looking at the clock that we have to take a break.
We will. We're going to take a
Princess
break.
Princess going to do that for us?
Yes. That will be me. We're going to take a quick break. Then we are going to play some of our favorite phone calls while the engineers are troubleshooting. And we will be back live, hopefully very soon. You stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette Morgan. So glad to have you along, and thank you for joining us. Do want to let you know, today is a pre-recorded show, so we won't be taking any live phone calls, but we are going to feature some of our favorite phone calls from this year. So stay tuned for lots of information, perhaps that you missed prior in our other shows. This is Leading Edge Medicine, and it's brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics.
Hello, everybody, and we are almost to New Year's.
Again.
Yeah, well, I've seen 76 New Year's, so what the hell? Anyway.
Well, it's still exciting, though, is it or isn't it? Tell me.
No,
what do you think?
No. we go to bed so darn early. I have not been up to watch the new year come in decades.
Really?
Yeah, no. Bendy and I have our evening routine, and we almost never vary it, assuming we're both in town.
Okay, so no New Year's party for you? No
New Year's Eve party. You know, the last New Year's Eve party I went to, I think, was 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. The Grangers and us went out to a casino and danced. And when midnight came around, Bendy and I were so relieved to get in the car and go home.
Okay.
I mean, and I'm up at 4:30 or 5 o'clock every day.
Yeah.
And so for me, 10 o'clock is up late.
Of course it is. And you know, one of the things that came up at this conference that I came back from was sleep.
Yeah.
They asked about, you know, how many of you get 6.5, 7.5 hours of sleep every night, because sleep is critical for health and wellness.
Yes. Yes. Well, we do. We do. You know. Every night, once we get Ivory tucked into bed, you know, she goes to bed around 8 or 8:30 with a book. She's allowed to read, and she almost always falls asleep with a book on her chest. And then Bendy and I get our showers, and we crawl into bed, and I sit with my back against the headboard, and she sits between her between my legs with her back and head resting on my chest. And we just lay there and cuddle, and she usually streams a video from one of her Chinese websites so that she gets the...